This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 7th of October, 1953. The title of this lecture is Exteriorization. This tape is 28 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Okay, this is the second hour of October 7th. I want to give you kind of an insight into what not to use. I don't want you to use match terminals, double terminals, even in writing, unless a person is very thoroughly and reliably exteriorized, because they run down the body potential and they exhaust energy. And you don't want that happening. The body potential is something that you can straighten out with great ease when you can look at it. But straightening it out by running concepts is very silly. I mean, it's just silly. I just couldn't condemn this enough. It's very, very silly. It's something like trying to fix a clock in Westchester by thinking about it in Poughkeepsie. You fix a clock in Westchester by taking a look at the clock in Westchester. I mean a look. You have that. It's just silly to think about something if there's a way to look at it. If you can't look at something, well, you have to think about it. But if there's any way that can be figured out whereby you can look at it, you're on the ball. You're right there in the beat. Why people think about time travel all the time. They want to go back in time and take a real look at it. That is, they take substitutes, facsimiles, mock-ups, and so on. All right, this is a simple and elementary problem. I don't want you to use techniques which tear down the body residual mechanism, the operating mechanisms of the body, by thinking about them with gunshot techniques, except where you have a momentary chronic somatic, or a momentary return of chronic somatic, or an acute somatic that suddenly shows up. The best way I know how to get rid of a burn is just burn your hand, all right? Just put your hand out there twice. That's all. If it's been badly burned, you probably have to keep putting it out there. Put your hand out there twice, the burn will run out. Bam. Well, that's an emergency. That's an assist. In the case of some preacher being terribly upset about having had an argument with a landlady, you can actually discharge this argument with a landlady while it's fresh simply by match terminaling her. Make her face her. And it runs out. You see, that's another version of Q&A. That's why Q&A works. People are trying to get exact terminals. You can probably understand this flow. All right. What other techniques shouldn't we fool around with here? Well, there isn't any very specific lineup. But you shouldn't run engrams, scan locks, or fool around with old-time effort processing. But this doesn't say that you shouldn't run a grief charge secondary if you encounter it. You might suddenly, with other things you're using, encounter a grief charge. It's right there, and spilling. Run it. How do you run a grief charge? Take them from the beginning of the moment when the incident first occurred. First intimation they had anything was occurring, you run it through to the end. All perceptions could be picked up. And then you go to the beginning and run it through to the end again. With all perceptions could be picked up. And then you go to the beginning and run it through to the end again. With all perceptions could be picked up. It comes on a tone scale. It's a fast process in that it does change people quite markedly because it's a process which applies to the GE. GE could get his grief off. He'd be in beautiful shape, believe me. Fantastic. This goes way back on the track to a thing called, evidently, the weeper. Salt water. Now, for about 500,000 years, man was having a hell of a time trying to rush into the waves long enough to get some food and rush back to get some air. And he didn't have anything with which to rush. And it was very frustrating. So frustration winds up in spilling salt water. He had a couple little tubes and pushed these out of the shell. He pumped like mad, trying to pump out all the salt water. He would run it pretty clear on this, and it's just fabulous. But you could actually turn on reed. You could run off reed charges and so forth. You could run out this mechanism. But it's a necessary mechanism in the body. And you go to start altering around very much the evolutionary pattern of a body, and you get a body in horrible condition. Because it's depending on these old past efforts and these old adjudications and adjustments in terms of force particles, and just that much admiration, and it's just in that degree, here and there, through the body, and it's fantastic to me that the body resists the way it does, and that it is just wonderfully foolproof as a mechanism. It's really fabulous. Something I sometimes sit down and just flabbergasted. I used to be wondering about this on the basis of wrecks. I go into a wreck or a blow explosion or something. My God, they haul him out in horrible condition. So on, he'd live. And one time I began to worry about it, thought about it a little bit. It was, of course, immediately after an impact. But I'd been thrown through the top of a car, clear through its top. And 100 feet down the mountainside, and the car had struck a huge tree which didn't budge an inch, demolished the car, went through the top of the car, went 100 feet down the mountainside. Next thing I knew, from the moment I saw the tree, was I was sitting 100 feet down the mountainside, and I was just sitting there. Didn't have a scratch on me. I either picked myself up out of the car and sent myself down there where it was safe, or I did something peculiar. Everybody else was in the car. I wasn't driving. Everybody else was in the car. It was in a bad state of disrepair. But not me. I should have been in a very bad state of disrepair. Not a scratch. Yet the top of the car, the rest doesn't even go through the top. There's still in the car. But the top of the car was utterly demolished. And if I were at this moment to take my fist and try to go through sheet steel, I'm sure I'd get a bruised knuckle. And yet I went through the top of that car and split its beams on people. This human body is just fabulous, what it can take. Only reason I mentioned that. That's no reason for us to find out how much it can take. It's completely silly to process the body in terms of an indirect process. When you can exteriorize the thetan, and the thetan can reach over and straighten out the exact mechanism in the body that's causing trouble. The guy is having trouble with eyesight, wearing glasses, and that sort of thing. For God's sakes, don't worry too much about running the GE. If you can get the boy out there and have him just take his couple little beams and streak them down the optic nerve, take off all the bumps. Smooth them all out, take off all the bugs, throw away that little tiny deposit of straighten them up. Beautiful. You see, beautiful. Thetan knows how the body's built. You know how the body's built. Only you don't admit that you know it, because if you knew that you knew how the body was built, you might get mad at it someday and take it all apart. And therefore you have to refrain from getting mad at it. You'd better not arm yourself with the knowledge that you know how a body is built. Thetan's cute. Parks his knowledge around in little caskets and little tiny boxes. And Thetan, when he first exteriorized and so forth, the bad off cases, they don't exteriorize because they're really persisting. This body is valuable. They have finally become something. They become this body, and they just don't want to leave. Any one of your bad off cases will shove off from the body if the body's extremely ill after a supreme disappointment. Guy's really sick, in bad shape, and it looks completely impossible to go on. Why, the worst case there is can be on his own final adjudication. Well, it's all over now. Can't go on any further. And he'll tell you some such phrase as, "I could sit down and cry for 10,000 years. He's really feeling real bad. All he does is just push himself out of the phone. 100%. Go and sit down someplace. Try again. The complete sham of a man being stuck in a body. The complete sham of it. becomes at once apparent to such a person. He thinks he can't control a body from the exterior, so there's no question of controlling the body, but shock, sick, horrible shape, he just backs out. See how this is? See how simple? Actually, there's nothing sticking the thing in the body. Not a thing. There's no mechanism or anything else besides his own desire to stay there and his own anxiety that he must control it and his final realization that he is something and so on. Well, when he drags out in such a circumstance, he finds out something terribly important. He's got little caskets and little boxes and all sorts of things hanging on him. He's got circuits all packed up this way. He's got trapped thetans. When we think of these horrible entities and so forth, that the thetan curses so, a person says are so terrible and so forth, he trapped them. What are they doing? They're thinking for him. He's a slave master. When he gets democratic, his slave mastership has a tendency to weaken. When he gets out of the body, he doesn't think anything about taking one of these poor critters and holding it out at arm's length, twisting it around, making it agonize a little bit. It's amusing. He has no feeling about it because there's no retribution as far as they're concerned. He has a crew. Very often, people say they have demons and so forth. You come around to the auditor to get the auditor free from one of these demons. Well, who the devil's got the demon? He has. He's holding it solidly by the throat. And once in a while you say to the guy who's terribly impatient about being cleared and so forth, he says, I just have these voices clamoring. And you say, why don't you tell them to shut up? All right. What do you know? They did. You say, of course. Now, you would be told to apply an indirect method, some highly mechanical method to making the body shut up. Just tell him to shut up. Now, when he's out, when he's exteriorized, he actually feels like he feels real sad at first. Then he gets to feel mischievous. He kind of feels like a mischievous ghost. And all the chains he's carrying and old tin cans and bric-a-brac and everything else, it's just stuff he's carrying around because he... Very anchor points he had once, he has now facsimiles of these anchor points. He's made other anchor points to replace them. And in addition to that, little capsules, he's got in condensed form a terrific variety of brilliant mock-ups that he has stolen. Way back on the turn. You just try to take his mock-ups away. Oh, no. He won't even look at them. He's saying they're real dumb, they're real dim. He can't see them anyhow. They don't exist, really, and I have nothing to do with it. I can't see these. Once in a while, pretty clear, you'll startle one into this. He'd be sitting there looking at this gorgeous man or something of the sort, you know, he's got a little facsimile of this wildly colored jungle or something that's facsimile. He'd be looking at that. She'll be looking. Smile. What you looking at? Nothing. Only they'll explain it to you this way. They'll say, I can't see it now. You interrupted me, and it's dived out of sight. And what they're on is no responsibility, which is no force. They don't want to have enough force to destroy or enough admiration to destroy these precious mock-ups. Well, until they can make another mock-up similar to it, they're going to hold on to these things.
This lecture is continued on side two of this cassette.
Boy, you talk about moving day. It's when some of these things start to move out of the body. We're not stuck to the body or anything. Once in a while, a thing will move out and push himself against the mesh universe. And his beams are sufficiently condensed that they'll stick. And that frightens him. Frightens him a lot. He'll all of a sudden try to get loose from whatever he's stuck to. He's got hands if he's doing this. And he's a complete being. Tin cans and all. And he'll all of a sudden do this, and then suddenly it'll occur to him that he isn't anything. He'll say, I'm just an invader from space. Or I'm just nothing. Or I've always failed anyway. Or there isn't any hope for me anyway. And shoot right back into the body again. He'll stick it. He wasn't anything outside. All you have to do to breathe again is redistribute his looking, getting to look once more. All right, we get the favored technique with regard to the GE as exteriorization. The technique which returns the person, his personality, is exteriorization. The technique which adjusts the anxiety and troubles and inability to handle anchor points is exteriorization. The most workable technique is postulate processing, but that is only workable actually on exteriorized patients. So we get us the first hump of the whole thing, exteriorization. Not perception when exteriorized, but exteriorization after being exteriorized. Nothing to this. Now, the difficulty you will have with exteriorization is not great. If there is a difficulty, it's because of the uncertainty of the free clip. He's got a big dodge he's running. He's just running a dodge on you. That's why he shouldn't leave this body, because he finally is something. And he'll mean, if he could make the body run, my God, if it had two broken legs and he could still drag it down the street one way or the other, he would. Because things are scarce. He loses them too much and he loses them too easily. He'd drag anything with him rather than get out of the body. Because this seems idiotic to him, if you should ask him to get out of the body. Because he's got a body. And also, you try to tell him that he can't process himself while still in the body, and he thinks you're goofy. Because he tangles up the GE with the entities he's carrying around. And he sees the GE being totally obedient to him. So, of course, he doesn't understand why the GE couldn't be cleared the same time he's cleared. And he goes into a big computation about this, which he doesn't tell himself or you about. And we get this kind of a silly situation of a body which is built out of very heavy particles being battered around all the time, because the thing knows what will process himself. And when he uses that, it doesn't process the body properly. And it rather knocks the body's operating mechanisms to flat, upsets them considerably. So there's your solution to the thing. You just have to get him up. And he's under the delusion that he has to be in. Now, the effort of the body to get its anchor points back occasionally complements the effort of the thing to stay in. But the thing is trying to stay in, and he's trying to haul in, and he's trying to pull in, and he's trying to haul flat whenever you get into this situation of difficult exteriorization. What's he trying to do? He's trying to withdraw. What's he trying to do? He's trying to hide. What's he trying to do? He's trying to, anything you can think of, but it's just the effort is in the direction of pulling in the anchor points. And the body is in the direction of trying to pull in the thing. How do you solve this? Six steps to better being able to solve it. Or, step three, and this will be eight, will solve it. Endless solution. And if you run against all else, sorry. Why, you've always got other techniques. But you can fix him up so that he can't quite keep ahead of you. But you don't have to have a mastery like this. He's got one on a lockup of he mustn't let anything happen. And the other one is he's got his anchor points back. He's not going further than that. He's got his anchor points back. And the body is just one of his anchor points. Another problem you run into, the thing will feel tremendously big and the earth terribly small and so on. He's lost his perception of relative sizes. It's easy to get it back again. Very easy to get it back again. Duplication process will do it. Duplication. Just like it's given in the book. Duplication. Will adjust his relative sizes. All right. You can run a concept or two, you can waste, you can do anything while a guy's in the body, but actually if the fellow's pinned down in the body, you're wasting time. You can run explosions and admiration on him. And it'll soften up some of the lines. You can run an awful lot of it. It is an awful lot of it.
Can you run
it
on extended Gita?
Hmm?
Or you run explosions and admiration on expanded Gita? Or you just
keep on? Oh, just keep on. I'm not throwing them out. I'm going to keep them on. The less you figure about it, the better off you are. Just throw them out and let them explode. Have them explode out there. So. Quantity, because you're dealing with energy. You just want more energy. You don't want more thinking. Admiration. You just want more energy, not more thinking. People down below looking up in large masses is admiration. Odd things will happen on admiration processing. Now that's one of the first things we're going to do.
Could you continue admiration constantly after the speech you were just feeling rising with it? Or have you had enough? Could you continue admiration processing after the preacher thinks he's rising from the couch with it, or has he had enough?
He hadn't had near enough. What you're getting is a tightening line there. You're getting lines opening up because of admiration. And lines which were just little balls, you might say, there's nothing, are suddenly becoming strong tensional lines.
So you can run it longer.
Oh, you can run admiration processing by the 100-hour lot. And you will get into the condition where the whole body starts to soften. But it's not dangerous. Okay. Now, the one member of the class to whom this is going to happen, Mr. Young. And I want you to take a notebook, like a petty cash book that's out there in the other room, and while the processing's being done, we're going to have the auditor doing the job, making notes as the manifestations. I'm going to run this for your benefit and for his benefit. You're going to see lines open up all over the place and so forth. We're going to run this admiration processing, and we're going to alternate it with a little bit, minimal, 6 steps to better beings. We're just going to do this to show you what happens. Is that all right with you? The way you do this process, simplicity itself, you get people mocked up, no matter if you can't get mock-ups or can't get mock-ups, you get people mocked up in masses, all looking up and admiring the preacher. People in masses looking up and admiring somebody else in the preacher. And other people mocking up masses of people to admire other people. And this at once wastes and accepts admiration. You can run it this way. You occasionally find yourself a little bit pushed to get enough people there. Vary the kinds of people. Stadiums full of people, theaters full of people, and so on. I won't forecast what would happen on this, but very possibly you'll find out that every time you put a stadium full of people around the free clear, all the seats get sucked empty. And you have to put them in there. Now, you'd use this ordinarily with a heat meter. You'd see action on the heat meter. I think you'll see the E-meter stick, but I'd like to see how admiration processing works on the E-meter. So just set it up and roll it. Now, we won't put any definite time on how long we're going to run this, because you might only have to run it for a very short time, and you might have to grind out for 2 days. But I don't think that it's much longer. Now, remember that there's another formula in there. There's formula H. And when the preacher is feeling that he's going completely insane, remember that this is must withdraw but can't withdraw, or must reach, must but can't reach. Must reach but cannot reach. Must withdraw but cannot withdraw is insanity itself. And that turns on a funny emotion. Anybody here could have that emotion turned on, by the way. All of a sudden he said, yeah, I'm going in mad. Anytime anybody starts feeling like that, right, you know that it's either must withdraw or can't withdraw, or must reach. Well, you better run it this way. I'll get the feeling that you must withdraw but can't withdraw. That you must reach but can't reach.
In other words, you just suffer through.
Well, as a matter of fact, it'll only last for about 3 or 4 minutes if you run that in there. It'll run for quite a little bit longer on admiration processing. It'll continue for half an hour or so, probably. But if the guy just all of a sudden looks completely wild-eyed, so forth, he's locked up on that, and it's a very delicate thing, although it seems to be very solid the moment it's hit. It's a precise point. And that emotion is the emotion of insanity. It's just a precision point of exactly what pattern of particles gives this emotion, which you accept as emotion called insanity. That's all. And it's just must reach but can't reach, must withdraw but can't withdraw. It's either one or the other. It's not necessarily both. But to run it, you would run must reach but can't reach, must withdraw, can't withdraw.
Suppose your preacher gets feeling kind of rough in admiration processing. Do you just continue admiration processing, or do you switch to SSS?
In this case, we will vary it slightly by a minimal use of 6 steps. Minimal use. For instance, you shouldn't finish up a session particularly without letting hold on to the anchor points of the room at least for a couple of minutes, or do a duplication or two. See, just terrifically tiny use, just enough to orient the present time. You'll get a very good idea. You as a class, what happens to people with admiration process? There's nothing bad going to happen. But you'll see that Guy Carter has a tendency to slide out of present time. And various patterns turn up and so on. I want you to do that on an experimental level. Is that all right? Good. You would not do this in ordinary processing. You would do a little bit of admiration processing and a whole lot of six steps to better man. It's a complete reversal. I think you're getting exteriorized. Very sharp. See, the only thing that keeps him interiorized, as far as he's concerned, mechanically, is a collapsed communication line. The only way the communication line can collapse, he can't get a communication line from the exterior point of the body into the body. When he starts to move out, he feels like he's on springs. And ping, he comes back in again. Well, that's just too tight a line. Admiration of that line. What do you admire? Well, you admire the Theta, you admire Christ, you admire ghosts, you can admire anything in the list of expanded Gita. Anything on subject matter as far as that's concerned. See, there's a little more of a technique there. You don't have to admire subjects. You don't have to admire subjects. But if you keep on admiring bodies rather than Thetans, you're just softening up all the body ridges, and you're having the Thetan service the body again, you see, rather than the Thetan getting it right. Okay, now, are there any questions about this? Okay, there being none, it's the official end of the lecture.